Blog Talk Radio.
Well, evidently, we do not have any music, folks. This is Kyler Davenport live on Alternative Public Radio International, and that producer better turn that music off as fast as possible. I tell you right now, walked all over my intro. Turn the music off, please. Thank you very much. Yeah, we are live, ladies and gentlemen. This is Davenport on Alternative Public Radio International, streaming live and simulcasting with blogtalkradio.com tonight. I am on tonight with my guest, Dwayne Brothwell, and we are going to be talking about the New World Order. We're going to be talking about religion. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that concern a lot of people today. We obviously have the 24-hour station back up. We are really proud to be back on air 24 hours on 5 platforms and 36 platforms, if you count Twitter and all of the others, Google Hangouts that we're on. We are really growing very rapidly. I did want to say tonight that Facebook is getting crazier by the day. The Facebook police are on the march. I'll tell you, they are really out there on the march, putting people in jail like me who speak out on these issues that are so critical to all of us. And I was getting into an argument earlier with someone about this very issue with the Beyonce thing. I went in on a thread and was talking about Beyonce inciting a riot, and inciting people to go out and kill police officers and create chaos in the community. And they came down on me really, really, really hard. And I said, you know, whether I'm pro-black or not is irrelevant. I said, she's inciting a riot. You don't run into a theater and say, fire, you're going to go to jail. And it's as simple as that. And what she did, art or not, was incite a riot and incite violence. So, you've got to think, you've got to use your damn head whenever you're discussing issues on the internet. People think it's a family network. It is not a family network. It is one of the most dangerous platforms in the known universe today, especially for our children. And everyone needs to be educated on this new world order. Everyone needs to be educated on what the hell they're doing on Facebook and why they are on Facebook and how dangerous this platform really is. And I'm getting sick and tired of people posting their puppy dogs and their little butterflies while millions of people are starving to death. Over 2 billion people make less than a dollar a day and have to pay most of that back out for rent and living expenses. We've got people starving to death all over the world and all over the United States of America. We waste billions of food products every year that are thrown away. You know, we could feed every homeless person in the known world on what we throw away every single day in the United States of America. So I wanted to say that, and I wanted to say that the Facebook police are out. This is real. This is not a game. This is not a test. This is the real deal. The Facebook police are out. And when I say the Facebook police, I'm talking about the National Security Agency, the Department of Defense. I'm talking about all of these other agencies that are here to monitor and to capture all of this metadata. And if you think metadata is not dangerous, you're an idiot. Metadata is very, very, very dangerous to all of us. And I do believe that they're doing more than just metadata capture now. I believe that they're capturing the full Monty, everything that we do, say, think, feel, and are. So that being said, I will welcome my guest on. Dwayne, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Kyler, how are you?
Well, it pretty juked up, if you notice. Pretty juked
yeah.
up.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
Well, yeah, it's a big issue. It's a really big issue that we are facing, and we all better get damn serious about it. It's time to stop playing around. We are losing our country. We are losing our rights. We are losing our freedoms. We are losing everything that we have been known for and had long before 1776. Long before the colonies. This started many, many years before the colonies ever existed. ever, you know, before we ever fought the British. But so what is your take on all of this, Dwayne, now that you're here on the show?
Well, Dan, the banks and corporations to the mystery Babylon in the Book of Revelation. And I believe that this mystery Babylon talked about in the Book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, is the New World Order. It's also, this Babylonian system has also happened in the past when Israel was a nation and Israel fell and fell under the control of Babylon because Israel began to worship idols, which is fake money. And they ran out of gold. Israel ran out of gold. America ran out of gold. We lavished gold out of the bag. That's talked about in Isaiah 46, verse 6. Some lavish gold out of the bag. That means that they go off of a gold standard. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and the goldsmith being the bank. Have you ever watched the video, The Tale of the Goldsmith, Kyler?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that pretty much explains how the goldsmith makes gold into a god. And then the Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 6, it says, yea, they bow down, they worship, because the reason it says worship is because you cannot borrow a fake piece of paper. It has to be worship. You spend your whole life paying back this fake money that had no value, and with your labors, you give it value. And what America did in 1933, the way it started was when we ran out of gold and we ran out of collateral to borrow or to worship fake money, what this country did is we created collateral through the birth certificate. And what this is, it's talked about in Ezekiel 23:37. It says, with their idols they committed adultery, and the children that they bore unto me, they threw them into the fire to devour them. So the debt is the fire, and whenever you fill out a birth certificate for your children, you are offering them as collateral for borrowing, or you are offering them to a fake god that creates images or idols, excuse me, which is fake money. And
fiat currency and so forth and so on, and the Fed, and it goes on and on. We've done a zillion shows on this. I mean, I've done over 1,500 shows, and many of them are what you're talking about tonight. If I was a Christian, I would say we are in the last days of our generation anyway. I would say that we are in a shitload of trouble. I would say that this is apocalyptic. I would say that this is beyond imagination, what is going on today. If I was a Christian, I would probably be locked up in a mental institution because I would know that this is it, the game over. You know, it's whatever's getting ready to happen is getting ready to happen, and it's already happened. I'm glad I'm not a Christian. I'm glad I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm glad that I have my belief system pretty down pat, you know, and I have a good relationship with the source. And I wouldn't want to be a Christian in these days and times. I'd be in the pulpit burning that thing up. I would be burning the pulpit up. It would be on fire. People would be running out of the back door, screaming and yelling and hollering for help, because I would let them know that game over, baby.
Yeah. A lot of pastors don't like the message that I preach because it affects their stomachs, and frankly, this is a very hard revelation to figure out for somebody who's not suffering And for somebody who, you know, is just going about their daily life with no cares and no troubles, it'd be very hard for that type of a person to understand. They have, because frankly, they have no need to really figure out the truth of what's going on in today's world.
They have no need whatsoever. And most of these folks are too busy trying to take care of their children, trying to pay the rent and the gas and the electric and the water and the car insurance and this insurance and that insurance and worrying about this contract and that contract and paying the mortgage on the house and trying to get the kids through school and trying to survive with this fiat currency that's completely worthless. And so they don't have time. You're right. They do not have time to get involved in these things that you and I have time to get involved in. What is it going to take to make some changes? You know, what is it going to take to get people to wake the hell up and figure out that we are in the last days of our generation anyway, if not the apocalypse? We are in the last days of our generation, of our time of doing and thinking and acting. So what are we going to do, Dwayne?
Well, you know, first of all, you're right. You know, a lot of people, they're just, you know, paying their bills, they're working, you know, and it all surrounds the fiat currency. The laws surround the fiat currency because the banks, they create money, and then they get rich off of this counterfeiting operation, and then they get rich and they lobby the politicians, and the politicians pass laws that benefit Wall Street, which the bankers have gained control of Wall Street, the banks and the corporations, because they counterfeit money. And so all of the laws surround this fake money system. And the image of the beast, which is your name in capital letters on the birth certificate, is what people spend their lives, you know, they got to have an image to get a job. They have to have an image to borrow money. They have to have an image whenever they interact with the government. You know, if a police officer pulls you over, the police officer always asks for the image, which is your name in capital letters on the ID. If you want benefits, Social Security card, it all evolves around the image, which gives value to the idols, which is fake money. And that is, that's called drunkenness. The Bible calls it drunkenness because they're too busy with their life worshiping and spending their life in a system that is man-made. God made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. That's Ecclesiastes 7:29. And so this is the drunkenness. The Bible says in Revelation 17:2, it says, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants were made drunk on the wine of her fornication. And then Habakkuk 2:5 says, I can't remember the beginning, but it says, talks about wine. He is drunk with wine, and it says he gathers all nations to himself. He is greedy as the grave, and like death is never satisfied. So, and then George Washington talked about this drunkenness also. He said, paper money has had the effect in this state it will always have, to ruin commerce, oppress the poor and honest, and to open the door for every species of fraud and injustice. So fake money, what it does is it causes drunkenness, so you can't see the truth, you're not focused on God, and you're too busy filled with a man-made system. And then he also said, George Washington also said, that if in the pursuit of the means we should happen to stumble again upon unfunded paper money or any other species of fraud, it will enter the body of politics like spirit liquors enters the body, destroying the vitals, which the vitals are our liberty. And our liberties are being destroyed because we're too busy being drunk, and our lives are consumed with this fake money system and the image of the beast, which give this money power, and, you know, Deuteronomy 7:25, and, you know, Deuteronomy 7 verse 2 and then 7 verse 25, when God was marching his people through the land, he told his people, make no covenants with the other nation. And then in verse 25, he says, the images of their idols shall you burn with fire, for they are an abomination to the Lord. And so, you know, this is the abomination of desolation that Jesus talked about. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation, those in Judea flee to the mountains. And that's what these images are. And now that we know, you know, there's a lot of people that know and understand. And this is all according to Revelation 18, verse 1. And two, it says, and I saw an angel of light descend from heaven, having great authority, and he lightened the earth with his glory, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, fallen is Babylon the Great. And so all of this knowledge, Facebook, you know, all of this internet is all Daniel 12, verse 4. It says, God told Daniel, seal up the words of this book until the time of the end. Knowledge will be abundant. And now that we're learning what the image is, this is, you know, the angel of light. And then God says, when we learn what it is, he says in Isaiah 48, verse 20, he says, come out from the midst of Babylon, utter it with shouts of joy to the ends of the earth, and say, God has redeemed his servant Jacob. Did he not lead them through the deserts and give them water from the rocks? So, what God wants us to do as his people, and the real right thing to do, and I know a lot of people who aren't Christians understand this, you know, basic common sense that, you know, this legal name we are giving up to this Babylonian banking system and to this bankruptcy created in 1933. And we're giving up our rights and property. We're giving our birthright up for a morsel of meat, like Esau did in the Bible in Habakkuk or Hebrews 12:16. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane man who for one morsel of meat gave up his birthright. What we're doing is we are entering into commerce, and that's why, and we're fornicating against the Lord, because, you know, I'm going to bring up that scripture, Ecclesiastes 7:29 again. God made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. This Babylonian system is a man-made invention, and whenever we contract with it, we are that profane person. We are committing fornication because we're trusting in a man-made system rather than God, and that's why the Bible says in Revelation 17:2, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, because what made America so great is because we were sovereign. We were the king. And John Jay, you know, in his opinion in 1793, I believe it was, he said in his Supreme Court opinion, he said, at the revolution, sovereignty devolved on the people, and they are truly the sovereigns of the country with no one to govern but themselves. So what we did, we were kings, but when we couldn't pay our debts, this country as a whole, when we couldn't pay our debts, we started to borrow, and we committed fornication with this Babylonian system and their idols, this fake money. And then going back to Hebrews 12:16, it says, if there be any fornicator or profane person, this word profane person is translated into the Greek meaning accessible or lawful to be trodden. I know you remember that saying, don't tread on me, thing that came to my mind when I learned about that Greek word meaning accessible or lawful to be trodden. Esau gave up his birthright for a morsel of meat. And that's what happens when we sign a contract, is we are lawful to be trodden and we are accessible. So that's why our country is in the shape that it's in today, is because we're in contract and we are subject to that contract. And
we've
given up all of our rights and property.
We are subjects. You're right. We are subjects, and we are subject to those laws and legalese, and we are not subject to common law anymore. We are subject to the law of the sea and not of the land. And so, you know, what do we do? I mean, it's getting worse and worse. You know, if we lived in a simple village with sticks and stones and fire and a tent made out of grass, we wouldn't have as much opportunity to get in trouble, you know. If you go back and look, when the feudal lords were ruling and people were living on the land of the king, they didn't have that much trouble, you know. They lived on the land of the king, and they rented basically from the king and gave a portion of everything that was theirs to the king and to the kingdom. And they just didn't have a lot of problems. I guess they had their orgies, and I guess they had their drunkenness, and I guess they had their parties. But we found a whole lot of ways to get in trouble today. We've developed a system that is just beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension, if you want to use the word evil, it's beyond evil. It's beyond anything that I can comprehend as being evil. Yet most people consider it very normal, Dwayne. Very normal, everyday business, no big deal. Kick back and watch the NFL, watch Dancing with the Stars, and watch these fake, false, entertaining elections with this so-called election when presidents are appointed and not even elected. People are just normal. They think all this is just normal, don't they?
Yeah, that reminds me of a quote from Cicero, and I have never memorized this. I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, it's not in the bread and circuses per se, but it's in the willingness of man to give up his rights. And that's what we've done, is it's not the games that's the evil in the country, but it's the willingness of men to give up their rights. And, you know, the games aren't bad, but it's when people focus on the games and they focus on, you know, the bed and the circuses, you know, how they're going to fill their tummy.
I think one thing I want to stress tonight is that those rulers of this kingdom today are in the same boat you and I are in. There's no difference. They're in the same exact boat. They have a choice. They can make a choice to do this, that, or the other. Many of them choose what they're doing. And many of those that are following, many of the subjects that are following these rulers, they choose to follow these rulers and be under contract and be subjects. So in a scientific way, it looks perfectly normal. In a scientific way, it looks perfectly kosher and okay and cool. Just something that happens in the universe, in the consciousness of man, no big deal. But when you put it into a religious context, everything changes. When you put it into a spiritual context, changes. The picture begins to change, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people don't understand the system, and that's normal because when a nation falls away, they enjoy, you know, in the beginning, they enjoy freedom. They enjoy you know, being free from the country that they were enslaved to. And then as the country goes, they start, you know, incurring the curses of Deuteronomy 28, which is the covenant between a man and God, or a nation and God. And so as this curse, this banking system, which, you know, Deuteronomy 28:43, you know, it describes a nation that no longer hears God's voice nor obeys his commands. And it says one of the curses, which is in verse 43, it says, the stranger that is in your midst will rise high above you. He will lend to you and you will not lend to him, and he will be the head and you will be the tail.
Yeah.
And as this curse develops, as it makes its entry, you know, through the Federal Reserve in 1913 when we're talking about America. And then through time, this curse, I kind of lost my train of thought there, but
I think remember the old street preachers that used to be downtown? You remember those days?
Sure, I used to do that.
You know, those guys were out there doing what they thought they should be doing, and most people thought they were crazy. You know, the majority of people thought they were completely nuts, you know. And what they were doing is they were trying to warn us of what's coming. They were trying to warn us of the impending danger and doom that's coming, you know.
Yeah.
And people just didn't want to hear it. People didn't want to believe it. So they shucked it off, you know.
Yeah, you know, I got to finish my train of thought. As this curse comes into the nation, you know, now it is, this curse has consumed the nations, according to Isaiah 24:1-6. It says, God will lay waste the earth for the earth and its inhabitants have forsaken the everlasting covenant, which is Deuteronomy 28:43. And then for a curse consumes the earth. And so this curse of the bank that is destroying the nation is also destroying the earth in the end time. And so that is manifested as Mystery Babylon, as Babylon also in the book of Habakkuk, when it says in Habakkuk 1:5-6, it says, behold, you among the heathen wonder and be amazed, for I will do a work in your days that you will not believe, even if it was told you. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people that will march across the breadth of the land, seizing dwelling places not their own. So God even told his people, he said, that I'll tell you something that you're not even going to believe, even if I tell you. And so this Babylonian system is a mystery. It's a stranger in Deuteronomy 28:43. And then to get to the meat of this point that I'm trying to make is Isaiah 29:9-11. God told his people in the nation, he said, be drunk not with beer, stagger not with wine, for this vision, which was the vision of Babylon, will be sealed unto you. For I have closed the eyes of the prophets, the seers, and the rulers. And I believe the reason why God did that was because there was a time for a fallen nation, namely America, and also back then with Israel, that the nation fell away, and God wanted his people to be at peace with the system for the time until the end. And then that's my belief, and I believe that's why God closed the eyes of all of his people during this time that the nation has fallen. But when the angel of light comes in Revelations 18:1-2, that is when I believe that God wants us to start learning about what's going on, and because thankfully, their eyes have been closed the whole time.
Yeah, their eyes have been closed, and I believe there again, if I was a Christian, I would forgive them, and if I was God, I would forgive them. And I believe that God, in all of his omnipotence, will forgive those who just don't get it. They just don't get it. I think if God in the Bible, the God of the Bible, is going to condemn anyone, it would be those who just outrightly say, to hell with you, God. I'm not going to do what you do. I'm not going to do what you say, and I'm not going to believe what you want me to believe, and I don't give a damn about your religion, your holiness, your deity. I don't care about your kingdom. And just outrightly just reject everything that God is about. If God condemns anyone, or if anyone is condemned, by whatever scientific method you want to mention or whatever religious methodology you want to talk about, I believe those will be the ones who are rejected and put into darkness, if you will. Do you agree with that?
A little bit I do. One of the things that I know about God's people, the mainstream, I call it mainstream Christianity because, you know, that's what mainstream Christians think. You know, they're going about their daily lives. They're, you know, worshiping the images and the idols, and they don't see nothing wrong. And when they're presented with this angel of light in Revelation 18:1, they don't quite get it because they're not quite mature enough and they're not quite able to eat the meat, if you will,
right.
You know, the
right.
thing, you know, again, to the deep stuff.
They're still on the bottle. They're still on the bottle.
Yeah, that's basically what man-made inventions are for. It's for people who are not a man, because a man will trust the Lord and they will be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And that is what a man is. But when a man has to borrow and when a man has to rely upon man-made inventions to meet their needs, this is a sign of a child. This is, you know, you were talking about the old feudal system back in the day. Well, where the king owned everything, but in reality, we're actually in the same type of feudal system. The king being the legal language, and the 14th Amendment. Any person born, naturalized, or subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States or the state in which they reside. So basically they're subject to, and whatever you're subject to is your king, and the king is the legal language.
Dwayne, let me ask you a question. Do you have a driver's license?
I don't have no legal name.
Do you have a driver's license?
No.
Do you have an ID?
If anything requires a legal name, I do not have it.
Do you have a birth certificate?
No.
Do you have a Social Security card?
No.
How did you go about getting rid of all of those things and disconnecting from those contracts? How did you go about doing that? Because I know the paperwork. I know the legal process. I know what has to be done to legally get rid of some of those things, and I know that it can be done. What did you go through, and how are you surviving? How are you existing? On cash?
Well, yeah, you know, cash and God. You know, God is my provider. And the way I did it, Kyler, is Isaiah 48:20 says, come out with shouts of joy and utter it to the ends of the earth. So what I did is I took that scripture to heart, and I wrote up a declaration telling the world that I'm no longer going to do business with Babylon, the banks and the corporations. And I wrote out a bunch of things that I was doing in this declaration, and also research resources of why I did those things. And you can find all that information on YouTube on the video. It's called Handing in My Declaration to Weld County Sheriff. And then when you watch that video, it'll take you to a link that describes the declaration that I did. So that's how I did it. I did a couple of things. You know, I didn't burn the birth certificate, which the Bible says in Deuteronomy 7:25, it says, the images of their idols shall you burn. I didn't just burn them, but in my mind I burned them because to me, you know, it's the image of the beast, and I'm not going to trust in that anymore, you know, and I believe that if I do, then I'm giving up all my rights and property. I'm giving up my birthright, and frankly, I love God, and I trust God. I know He's a big God, and I know that He can meet my needs. So that's what I did, and I know there's legal processes. You mentioned that, you know, there's the UCC-1, and you know, I never really got into that stuff yet. I'm too busy trying to, you know, figure out legal processes myself.
So, I think we have to be very careful what we tell the children here. I think we have to be very careful what we teach some adults here. I know a lot of people that have given up the contracts, and I know some of them are homeless, living under other people's beds and mooching off of other people, starving to death. I know a couple of very popular talk show hosts that are living from bed to bed, couch to couch, and floor to floor. It's not an easy life. It's not something I recommend that people do without a lot of forethought. I mean a lot of forethought and a lot of counseling with people like you who have already gone through the process. And it's not something I recommend to anyone. But, you know, to each his own, float your own boat. I live within the system, and I live very well within the system. I have my own way of getting around the system. I have my own way, which I can't talk about on air. That's how top secret it is. I can't even talk about it on air. But I do have my own way of living within the system and yet not living of the system. So I think you can just figure that out for yourself. But I don't want to recommend this to people, and I don't want to tell people to run out and burn their driver's license just yet. I want them to really stop and consider what ramifications and what consequences come with these kinds of actions.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, Kyler, because first of all, you got to have knowledge. You know, if you don't have knowledge, you don't have power. You have to fully understand what's going on. You know, what is your relationship with the Lord? What does the Lord want you to do? Or what do you think in your own life is the wise thing to do? And you have to have knowledge to do that. And, you know, you can't just go out and just start doing this stuff without knowledge. I mean, first you have to start figuring out, you know, how the system works, you know, getting into the inner workings of how the system works and learning. And that's really the biggest step in, you know, making decisions on how you're going to interact and make decisions with regards to your freedom and in regards to, you know, this banking system.
Yeah, I talked to some goofball today on Facebook that was telling all these kids to get out and burn their driver's licenses up, get rid of their birth certificate, and I called him an idiot. I called him out on it.
So you said that wasn't me?
No, I called him a complete idiot. Complete idiot. No, he's just a complete idiot. No one should recommend that to anyone. No one. Without counseling, without knowledge, without wisdom, without a full explanation of what you're doing and why you're doing it and how you're doing it, you know.
Yeah, I understand. I do say that quite a bit. I say
you should,
you know,
say that.
Hopefully, I give them a little knowledge with that. But you know, the Bible does say the images of their idols burn with fire. So. You know, tell them that the Lord says.
You can live within the system and be a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu or whatever, a deist or an atheist or a pantheist. You can live within the system and be right with God. I'm not going to run out here and start telling people in the church to just get rid of all their IDs and get rid of all their birth certificates. What about handicapped people, the mentally retarded? What about the mentally challenged that we work with? What about young children? What about young people? You can't create this chaos in society. You can't run out with these radical ideas and start spewing them on people because it's a whole new paradigm. What you're talking about is a whole new and strange and odd paradigm. So you have to be very careful how you tread with this kind of information. You're given a great responsibility by having this information, by having these thoughts and ideas and concepts. So you have to be very careful. You have to walk very carefully, my friend.
Well, yeah. You know, as I look at the system, and I know how it works. You know, you and I both know how it works. These bankers, they use our military, they use the ignorance of the people to, you know, kill children in other nations. You know, they went into Iraq, killed you know, millions of people over there. They took Gaddafi out. You know, they do all of this stuff. And not only that, but they lobby our politicians with this, with these idols, this money that's created out of nothing, to take our liberties and our rights and enabling these cops
but
to
see, kill
all
but here's,
these
here's people. Something. Here's something I'm going to bring up right here. Here's something I'm going to bring up. Very important. Very important. The people that are doing this don't see it the way you do. See, that's, I want to be very clear about this. And I've talked about this a lot on air. The people that are doing these things on a small level or a medium level or a big level, they don't see the world the way you do. They don't see religion the way you do. They don't see the Bible the way you do. It's all about perception. It's all about experience. It's all about where you grew up, who you grew up with and around. Who were your parents, your birth parents, your adopted parents? What city, what country, what community, what council, what prefect did you grow up in? Well, you know, what brothel did you grow up in? What hood did you grow up in? What upper class, middle class neighborhood did you grow up in? Did you, you know what I mean? You, all of these factors have to come into play when you're talking to people, or it makes you look stupid.
Well, you know, if you look, would you agree with this statement, Kyler? The legal name is the power source of all corruption. I've labeled it that. Would you agree with me?
If, in fact, people have that knowledge, I would. If, in fact, people have that knowledge and they perceive and have the capacity and the ability to agree with you and they see the facts presented to them, yes, I would say yes. Because it does get us in trouble. Contracting in any way, shape, form, or fashion puts us in bondage. It puts us in bondage and it makes us a slave of the system, the corrupt system. So, yes, I would agree.
Okay, well, with that being said, if you wanted to cut off the power source of the elite, you want to hit them where it's going to count, and that is the legal name. Because if they don't have people contracting with them, they're going to run out. And it's very biblical. And Jeremiah 50, verse 38, it says, there is a drought upon her waters, for it is the land of the graven images, and they have gone mad upon their idols. The fact is that people are waking up. They're no longer contracting. This is going to dry up their sea. And, of course, you and I know it's Admiralty Law, which Revelation 13:1 explains that very well. It says, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Because we know banking operates in the laws of the sea. You have the banks that direct the flow of current sea out to the sea. We know that the beast rose up out of the sea, the laws of Admiralty. And it's the graven image. Are you aware that the birth certificate is a copyright graven image, or I think the law says a carved image? But
I'm very, very well aware of how the birth certificate and derivative banking works. I'm very well aware how fractional banking system works. I'm very well aware of the Fed being private. I'm very well aware of the counterfeit fiat currency. I'm very well aware of the digital currency. I'm very well aware of all of these things that coincide with the New World Order. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I would say I'm a specialist in that area if you wanted to go consult a specialist. So, yeah.
Okay. But it's just interesting that the Bible says it is a land of the graven image, when even the law says it's a graven image. And it's this graven image that gives their idols value. You know, especially when you pay the federal income tax, first you have to enter into the system, and then you pay tribute or taxes on your labor, and it's this income tax, the federal income tax, is what gives this fake money value, because this money did not have value when we borrowed it from the Federal Reserve, it's only until we work and give it value and pay it back that it has value. So if you don't have a legal name, their fee is going to dry up. And that is what's going to happen. And people...
you have to understand, Dwayne, you have to understand, you're not even 0.1% of people who believe what you believe, though. So I don't want you to go out there with the false impression that you're making some big splash in the world. I've been doing this 23 years. I'm 59 years old, been around the world a couple of times, and I can tell you, there's not a whole lot of people that think like you do. You're in a small, small fractional minority of people. And then you might come back with, well, very few are chosen. You know, many are called, few are chosen. But I wouldn't go for that one either. I wouldn't go for that one at all. But I just want you to realize what a minority you are in, my friend. You're in the attic with mothballs on.
Oh, I know it. You know, it's interesting, you know, when you hear about statistics of the revolution, how only 3% of the people were really wanted a revolution, and a lot of people were on the fence. It doesn't take a whole lot of people to change, you know, the tide, if you will.
Well, this government's not going down without bloodshed. This government's not going down. Agenda 21, America 2050, America 30's not going down anytime soon. HARP's not going down anytime soon. DARPA's not going down anytime soon. You know, HARP, chemtrails, mind control, nanotechnology, current science, none of those things are going to fade into the woodwork, my friend. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we are feeding this monster daily, and it's getting fatter and fatter and fatter by the second.
Well, according to my understanding and my research, I believe that, and I know people have, you know, predicted things before, but I believe that the year 2017 is a major year. It's the 6,000-year mark of the history of the world. When you count back the day counts in the book of Exodus to the creation week when God created the heavens and the earth, when you go from that day count all the way to 2017, that's 6,000 years. And then when Israel became a nation, that started the beginning of the last generation. And Jesus said, all of these things will be, this generation will not pass until all things be fulfilled. And I believe that a generation of 70 years, which is going to be 2017. And then in the book of Daniel, it talks about the last 7 years, the abomination of desolation, I can't think of the words right now, but can't remember the words, but the abomination of desolation in the middle of the week. And it's interesting, you know, Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize in August 9th, I believe it is, 2009.
Yeah.
If you count 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, you come to the date of the health care bill, which just so happens to fall right after the last day of winter and right before the Sabbath, when Jesus said, pray that your flight be not in the winter and pray that it is not on the Sabbath. So it's interesting that, you know, that correlates with Daniel 9:24 through 27. And then when you count 1,260 days, which is another 3.5 years, which would be September of this year, which will mark the end of the 7-year tribulation. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, I don't think we're going through that hard of times, but when you study the four horses in the book of Revelation, they are red, white, green, and red, white, green, and black. And if you look at the flags of the Middle East, they're all the colors. They consist of all those colors, and that's exactly all those horses and what they represent, famine and pestilence and plague, have all hit the Middle East. So according to the Middle East, they're going through the book of Revelation right now. And so if you look at it in that light, then we are in the last days. And I believe that September of this year, you know, and I'm not going to say a date, but I'm going to say generally that that's going to mark the wrath of God, and crap is really going to hit the fan then, in my opinion.
Well, you know, we've been walking upright on this planet for about 250 million years.
Okay, well, I don't have any proof of that.
Well, we have, and I would say that we've had many, many, many civilizations visit us from other dimensions, other places, other planets, other wormholes, other time dimensions. I would say I don't know where we came from, and I have no idea where we're going, and we do not know as a people even where we are. As a matter of fact, we're finding out now as we look deeper into the atom, as we look deeper into the micro-macrocosm, both astrophysically and cosmologically, we're seeing that we may be a computer simulation. There's a very good possibility with our quantum physics and our math that we're looking at, we may be a computer simulation. And I've heard many Christians say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, God could have planned it that way. For all we know, God is a giant, massive computer.
Maybe it's the Matrix.
The Matrix. There you go. There you go. It's the Matrix. I mean, you know, and that to me is very interesting, because I do follow quantum physics and I do follow current science and current technology, what's real, what's not real, try to get some good sources to bring to the air for people. But yeah, quantum bits, definitely important. Quantum science, definitely important. We are very, very advanced in our quantum physics now and becoming more advanced by the day. I don't know, you know, where we're headed, and I'm not all excited about it. I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful. I'm not terrified. I'm not going to go out and start screaming fire, 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 but yet I'm here on the air trying to bring people like you on the air to get all of these different opinions out to people so they can make up their own mind. You know what I mean, Dwayne?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the Matrix, if you want to talk about that for a little bit, the word matrix, it means an environment in which something grows.
Mm-hmm.
And it also means mold.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it, at this system, this Babylonian system of the beast and you know, the Matrix, it's our ignorance that is the environment in which this system grows. And it's like a mold. And that is really what the movie Matrix is all about. It's about somebody, you know, realizing, man, there is something wrong. And so what happens is, as he starts, you know, trying to figure it out, he's presented with a red pill or a blue pill, and he ends up taking the red pill because the blue pill is, you know, I can't remember that saying right offhand because I'm on, you know, talking to you, but... ignorance is bliss.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, we're the ones who've taken the red pill and we've gone down the rabbit hole. We're searching and we're realizing that this whole system is actually voluntary because it's contracts. The laws, the statutes, codes, regulations, they only have an effective law through contract. And it's through this legal name that we are giving up our rights and property. We're voluntarily giving up our rights and property. And that's what we really need to redeem ourselves on, is this legal name. And we really need to understand what it is. We need to take the red pill and start learning. Because once we start learning and we start getting this knowledge, we realize that this system is voluntary. And there really is no law that says you have to obey statutes and codes and regulations, because all the laws pertain to a person, which a person comes from the Latin word persona, which literally means a face mask worn by an actor.
Right.
And
right,
all
right.
laws, yeah, all laws only pertain to a person or a face mask. And you wear that face mask whenever you enter into that contract, because from all my research, I have redefined the word person as being the subject of a contract, because that's really what the word person is. It's, when you see your name in a contract, that is your face mask, that is the image. And so whenever you sign to that image, you are now bound by that contract. You are now the subject, you're subjected to that contract through that image.
What would we set up? I'm just telling someone here how interesting you are, E-R-S-T-I-N-G. What would we set up? Would it be an anarchical system? Would it be despotism? Would it be a totalitarianism? Would it be... What would it look like? Would the phoenix rise out of the ashes? What would it look like if we could have a nuclear war and we could just rise from the ashes? What would happen then? You know, how are we going to redo this system if it doesn't stop? If the apocalypse doesn't happen and Jesus doesn't come back, what's going to happen? If we have a revolution, there's always going to be a leader that's going to rise up. There's always going to be another Babylon rise up. So it's just been, that's been happening over and over and over and over and over again. So what?
Well, the Bible, yeah, well, you covered a lot there that I could get into. According to my understanding, you know, the Bible says that a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years are as a day to the Lord. So when you look at the creation week, God worked 6 days and then he rested the seventh. And right now we are approaching the end of the sixth day, which the seventh day, which is 1,000 years. The Bible talks about that, the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. And so far, I'm beginning to believe that that the reign of Christ for 1,000 years is going to be the truth. And I don't believe Babylon is going to rise up again within this 1,000-year period, because, as you and I both know, the magnitude of this Babylonian system, and when it goes down, it's going to affect the entire world in a way that is not going to be forgotten for quite some time. And when I say the truth, when I talk about the truth, you know, I talk about this country as being somewhat related to the statue in the book of Daniel, how we started out with the gold standard, and as the country degraded through time, it went to the breastplate and then to the torso, and you know, degraded each step until it hit the feet, which the feet were made of clay and iron, which you could say clay would be debts and iron being heavy laws, because the more laws they make, the more debt we incur. And the only thing that holds this these debts and this heavy law together is lies. And then the Bible says in Daniel 2, something, it says that there will be a stone made without hands that will strike this image or this statue at the feet, which is truth. I believe this stone is truth, because now that we're bringing the truth into the system, which it's all voluntary. This whole system is voluntary. It's contracts. And we have been tricked into giving up our rights and property and worshiping this image, and that's why the Bible says in Revelation 18:23, by her sorceries were the nations deceived.
Speaking of sorceries, I think we should touch on words and how words are spells. I think
oh,
we
yeah.
should touch on how you know, words are spells. We're speaking both scientifically and religiously and spiritually. Words are spells that are cast upon the void, and those words are a reflection of yourself, and what you put out comes back. What you put out comes back. You could say, talk about the Holy Spirit, or you could talk about quantum physics. What you put out comes back to you. It rebounds, and it becomes you. It becomes your reality. I also wanted to ask you, what do you think about all the little children and all the senior citizens that rely on Social Security, and all the little children that rely, and the families and mothers that are alone, that rely on food stamps and housing and WIC to survive and to live? They can't get off the grid. They can't just move off the grid, get out of town. They have to take care of their children, to rely on the government. They have to rely on the government to take care of their little children.
Yeah. Well,
I
know that as a man of God, you know, I know that God will take care of me. And
no, answer my question. Answer my question, Dwayne, about all the little children.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you're asking me a question that Fox News would ask me, or something that CNN would ask me.
I'm asking you about reality. I'm asking you about reality, not about Dwayne, but what about all of our senior citizens that I take care of and that I work with? What about all of our mentally challenged and our mentally retarded and our disabled that I work with, we work with, my team here, that has to rely on government assistance? And what about all of our families, women, and children that we work with here in the Northwest that have to rely on government assistance?
Yeah, you know, I'm not immune from this group of people, because my dad is in a nursing home right now. And, you know, what I think about first is the truth. I think about what is my responsibility as a man and how this system works. And frankly, this government is a false god. And
you haven't haven't answered my question yet.
Yeah. I would say they better trust in the Lord. Yeah, they better trust in the Lord, Kyler.
So trust in the Lord for a hamburger, and burn your food stamp, burn your food stamp card, and let your children starve to death. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying do what God wants you to do. That's what I do. If I'm sorry that they depend on the government. I'm sorry that, you know,
well, you're
going to
make a lot of enemies tonight on this show.
Well, you know, the truth has never been an easy thing to swallow. I'm sure you would agree with that one.
Well, I don't agree with you on that at all when it comes to the women and children and government assistance programs that are out there. We have built a culture surrounded by idiots and fools. We have built this culture. You and I have built this culture. We have built this culture. And it is what it is, and shit happens, and shit falls.
How did we build this? Was it through our ignorance?
We built it through consciousness and ignorance and making the wrong choices and making the wrong turns here and there. And we made it by what you said earlier, by worshiping the beast, if you will, worshiping Babylon, if you will, giving into our lust and our desires and our need for speed and pleasure and taking the easy road. Yeah, that's how we built this culture, and that's how we're continuing to build this culture, if things don't change pretty quick.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the older folks and these, you know, the handicapped people, you know, this system may not go down the way we think it's going to go down. And I know God has his hand on, you know, these older people, the handicapped people. And I know that God's not going to put those people through more than they can handle. But if you, you know, read things, accounts in the Bible of how people were handicapped back in the old times, you know, in the when Jesus was walking the earth. You know, these people would hang out at the town square or the town gathering, you know, begging for food every day. And then one day they would cry out to God and God would heal them, you know. So, you know, when we do what we're supposed to do in relation to this system, and I believe God is going to look after these people. You know, it's very possible the system ain't going to crash like we think or like we would hope it would as far as, you know, just totally dying. But I believe that God is going to take care of those people.
Well, I know God, whoever she is going to take care of those people. And what are you doing for those people? I mean, we work every day with the mentally challenged and the handicapped up here and the hospice patients. We've dedicated our life to hospice and to seniors and to the mentally ill. What are you doing as far as outreach and visitation with the sick and visitation with those who are depressed and down and destitute? What all are you doing in your community? I want to know.
Yeah, well, you know, the Bible says to bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse. But after I've learned that the storehouses, which are the churches, they're not on board with this Babylonian system. And I realized that a lot of people out on the street are made poor. I know they've been made poor because of their own bad decisions, but there's a lot of people that need help. And God says that if you give to the poor, that you give to him. So when I give 10%, I don't take it to the storehouse as far as the churches, the mainstream church or Christianity. What I do is I give that 10% to the poor guy that I see on the street. That's where I give my 10%.
Well, that's good. I just wanted to know, you know, put you on the spot and ask you, what are you doing? Are you visiting the sick? Are you praying for those who are infirm? You know, are you out there in the community working with people physically? Or are you just here on the air spouting off all these things that other people need to do? What are you doing personally for folks that are sick and destitute and depressed and down and out? Because that's what the system works. That's what makes the system work, is us helping each other. You see, it's not about us helping ourselves. It's about us helping each other. That's the key.
Well, yeah, you know, I agree with you. When a nation no longer has the heart to take care of the homeless guy on the corner, you know, then God starts to take care of that person by forcing it out of them to a corrupt government. And, you know, I've often thought about and meditated on, you know, the liberal system, where if a liberal sees a homeless guy on the corner, rather than him taking money out of his pocket and helping that guy, what he's going to do is he's going to go to the government, and the government's going to forcefully take it from you, from the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people, I've had arguments with people that say, well, you got to feed the poor, and you got to, you know, you have to help the poor, you know, when you tell them that the government's taking too much and the government is taking your money to do this and that to help the poor. You know, you're saying, well, when did Jesus take somebody's money and then give it to the poor? When did he rob them at gunpoint and then give them the money to the poor? You know, that's not Christianity. Christianity is when you see somebody in need and you help that person. But when a nation falls away and they no longer do that on an individual basis, then God raises up people like the liberals to take money from you. I'm sorry, but that's kind of a crude way to look at it, but I think that's the truth.
Well, the food stamp question was really kind of cool. You know, I don't know. You know, people have to rely. Like I said, we've created this culture of need. We've created this crutch culture, and we can't blame women, children, and even men for falling for this, because it's the normal. It's what is today. It's what we're doing today. So you may be out here educating folks about your philosophy. That's good.
Yeah.
And your concept, yeah, and your experience, and that's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to change the hearts and minds of millions of people here in the United States. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and it's not going to change overnight, you know?
Well, you've heard how Benjamin Franklin, and I can't remember the quote, but, you know, he says, you know, I don't want to make a man comfortable in his poverty. What I want to do is I want to teach him how to get out of poverty. And that's really what I do, is I educate people. You know, Thomas Jefferson even said, educate and inform the mass of people, for they are our only hope for the preservation of our liberty. And, you know, the Bible says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, not so the heart of a fool. So, you know, a lot of times, if I don't have money, I do have knowledge. And this knowledge will give you power. But if you want to reject that knowledge, then, you know, the Bible has a special place for you, because, and that would be Proverbs 1, 22 through 31. It says, because you hated knowledge, therefore, when your destruction comes upon you like a whirlwind, I will laugh.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I'm not a Christian, and you know that I have my own relationship with the source. What about all the millions that have died without knowing Christ? And I think I know what you're going to say. The seed of Christ is planted in all hearts. But I want to hear something different. What about all the – I've had Pentecostal preachers tell me that, oh, all of these people are in hell. They're all in hell. It, hands down. No questions asked. They're all in hell. And I think that's ludicrous. That's completely ludicrous. These people are idiots.
Who is in hell? People who don't know Christ?
Yes.
Oh, you know, I'm not a judge. You know, I don't know what's in with them, you know, from the life that I saw them live to the point that they met God. I don't know what happened in that.
Well, God's only been around for just a few seconds, Dwayne. Okay? Grow up here. God's only been around for a few seconds in the minds of this culture. So God's a brand new thing, you know what I mean, in this culture. So you make it sound like God's 250 million years old. You know, we didn't start really conceiving of this biblical God until just a few seconds ago.
Well, I understand what you're saying in your point of view and the way you understand things, but the way I understand things is a little different. I believe that God gives every man an opportunity, and I believe that no man has died without an opportunity. So that's my belief. You know, if you have another belief that you can prove, you know, and I'll listen to it. I mean, I'm not closed-minded.
Well, we can't prove anything. I mean, if I ask you who wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what would you tell me?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I agree with you, Tyler. I agree there's a lot of knowledge I don't have. You know, I agree with that. You're right, I do need to study.
We all need to study to show thyself approved, and we all need to continue to ask the really hard questions. I don't think we're ever going to get through any of this without asking the most difficult questions that could possibly be asked. And I think that's what,
I agree with you, and I shouldn't be as scared of those questions, you know. I do know some questions are hard, but I also know that some questions come from a motive in a heart that is offbeat. Like, for example, when mainstream media asks questions, you know they got an agenda, and you know that that question is going to...
Well, we all have an agenda. I have an agenda. We all have an agenda. We're all human. We're all manipulative and we're coercive. We're all manipulative. We're all coercive. We're all trying to sell each other something. You're trying to sell me something in my audience tonight. I'm trying to sell you something in my audience tonight. We're all in the sales business, my friend, like it or not.
I agree with you.
Good. We are all in the sales business, and that's what life's all about, you know. And I just think that people need to come together. I know that sounds corny, but people need to come together. You know, I'm trying to. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kyler Davenport on with Dwayne Brothwell tonight on Alternative Public Radio International, streaming live, simulcasting with blogtalkradio.com, coming to you live from fastcast.com and many, many other platforms on your tablets, smart TVs, PCs, and other devices tonight. We have worked very hard to build this 24-hour station and all of its many platforms. We are growing leaps and bounds, and we are really working hard to bring in some other hosts, co-hosts, and producers, admins for some of our pages. We need this volunteer team to be stronger and stronger and stronger here at Alternative Public Radio. I encourage all of you to support the station with your thoughts and prayers. I encourage all of you to be a part of the station and the listening audience. I encourage all of you to go and like all of our pages and share our many pages that we have. We are doing something real here. We work with the mentally challenged. We are working against the Murphy bill. If you want to look that up, by the way, that's a big deal we're working on right now. And that's H.R. 2646, the Murphy bill we are working against. It's going to set health care back 50 years. It's going to set mental health back 50 years. I am a former emergency medical technician, advanced cardiac life support paramedic. I've worked in forensic science. I've worked as a special consultant to Governor Ann Richards, and I have worked with the World News, and I have worked undercover 2.5 years to work to overthrow these massive corporations that were involved in Medicaid, Medicare fraud, beating up our old folks and drugging them and tying them up until they were dead. So I've been there, done that, grew up in the funeral business. You know, we need to work together, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a lot of channels out there like ours. There's a few. Most of these folks on radio are just doing absolutely nothing in the community, and I'll say that with experience. They do a lot of talking, but they don't do a lot of walking. We are out there on the front line every single day and every single night working with those in need. And we try our best to work with those deserving in need. And when I say that, I mean not all homeless people are deserving. We've had a big argument about that on air. But I got in a big argument last week with some guy that said, you know, we got 250,000 houses sitting empty, foreclosed on. We could move all the homeless in there. And I thought, you stupid idiot. You stupid idiot. You can't trust all of these homeless people with anything. They will steal. They will kill. They will rob you blind. They will rape you. They will beat you up. You've got to be discerning. This is what we call discernment and being intuitive. So, you know, there's a lot of wisdom here on this station, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of wisdom coming through this station and coming through my life. That's why I'm a talk show host. Glad to be on tonight with Dwayne Brothwell. We have been talking about a number of things concerning the New World Order and religion and spirituality and economics and healthcare. And we've talked a little bit about everything tonight. That's what this show, that's what this station is all about. Dwayne, so tell me again, how are you surviving? Are you getting donations or what?
Well, I do a lot of buying and selling. I buy stuff mostly in the summertime. I look for good deals and I try to make money that way. And my wife is working, so, you know.
There we go. Your wife is working. Yeah. I knew there was a catch to this deal somewhere.
Yeah.
You're laying around the house preaching all day, and she's doing all the work, huh?
I guess so.
Mercy, mercy, mercy.
Well, you know, you want to know what's interesting is that when my wife wasn't working, I was still paying all the bills. So it doesn't matter if my wife is working or if she don't want to work. It doesn't matter to me. I prefer that she don't work. She wants to work. And even when she wasn't working, I was still paying all the bills, and I still pay a lot of bills. So, you know, because the Lord provides for my household.
What does she think about your mission?
I don't know. What do you think about it? She supports me.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's always good to have a supporting mate beside you. It's always good to have someone that's on the same page as you are. Where do you think we're going with this healthcare situation in the United States right now under the so-called Obamacare plan? And what do you think about these insurance companies reaping and raking in all the dough along with Big Pharma out there? What do you think about all these things? Our kids being put on drugs and pharmaceuticals and the forced vaccinations coming out of California, putting parents in jail for not being vaccinated. What's going on with all this stuff, Dwayne? Is that just a part of the end game for you?
Yeah, it's all Babylon and the beast, you know, which is the government and those who contract with Babylon. In my opinion, you know, Babylon offers you fake food, fake security through insurance companies, fake remedies through the pharmaceuticals. Everything Babylon does is a lie. And this truth, you know, my wife was cured from stomach cancer with FEAC-T. We didn't use any pharmaceutical medicine. She still has other health problems, lupus, and now MS, multiple sclerosis. But, you know, we're going the natural route, you know, which I believe is the truth, and will actually create an environment in your body where you can actually live. But everything that Wall Street offers you is a lie.
I agree with you 1,000% when it comes to all natural. I have nothing against all natural. We teach and preach all natural all the time here on this station. But I do believe there again, people need counseling, people need wisdom, people need knowledge, they need talent, they need skill, they need to understand what type of product they're getting, what concentration of product they're getting, what quality of product they're getting. So there again, it requires knowledge and wisdom. You just can't chunk somebody down at the local Walgreens store and say, take some vitamins. You have to tell them and counsel them up into all of this and let them know kind of what body parts you're working on and how this stuff works and how it's metabolized into the system and what systems it's working on. All these things are very, very important. That's why when I have someone on the air, I like to know that they have a full deck of cards. And when they're preaching or teaching something, I like to know that they're living it themselves and that they're doing it themselves and that they're an example. They're setting an example in the community with what they're telling me they're doing. You understand what I'm saying, Dwayne?
Yeah, you know, my wife, she went to the doctor. We've been together for almost three. She went to the doctor two years ago, with pneumonia, strep throat, and sinus infection. And so we started researching online natural remedies, and it's so easy to do. But we found a concoction of pure honey, cayenne pepper, and garlic. And we did that protocol, and my wife went back 2 weeks later, and the doctor said she was totally healed. So, you know, I mean, I'm a firm believer that natural is the way to go. And I'm not so over-righteous that I'm not going to, you know, count out totally pharmaceutical, because I do know that sometimes it can help and it has helped people. But in my own personal life, I tend to go more towards natural and looking up natural remedies myself.
Well, tell me what do you think about other religions and other children who are brought up in these other religions who, from the get-go, they're trained just like we are here in the United States to be Christian. They're trained to be, let's just say, Muslim or Buddhist. People are not normally, by the way, trained to be Buddhist. I'm a part-time Buddhist myself. Buddhism is a philosophy, of course. Hinduism is a philosophy, of course. Religion is a whole other universe. But what do you think about all of these folks? Back to the question, what's going to happen to them? Because they were brought up in a different culture, a different time, a different place, with different people believing different things. What's going to happen to them? Are you one of those that believes, oh, they're all going to hell? They're already there. If they don't find the Lord, because the Lord has planted a seed in their heart, blah, 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 blah. Dwayne said. Or what?
Well, you know, in my life, I search for the truth because I realize that if you don't know the truth, then...
What if they're not searching for your truth, Dwayne? You're a little close here. What if they're not searching for your truth because that's never been planted in them or near them? Nowhere near them.
Well, frankly, Kyler, I don't care about my truth. I could care less about my truth. What I care about is the truth. And whatever,
there is no the truth in this realm, Dwayne. That's impossible any way you look at it. Ask any biblical scholar, and they'll be the first one to tell you. Go to 150 biblical scholars. They'll be the first one to tell you that there is no absolute truth.
Well, you know, if you want to speak in terms of absolute truth, in my mind, you know, it is a very deep, deep subject to find the truth, you know.
Well, it's your truth. So, it's still your truth. Our bonsai pilots in Japan didn't blow up planes because they were having fun. It was their truth. You know, suicide bombers don't run out and blow up a building because they're having fun. It's their truth. Muslims don't want to kill the infidel because they're having fun and an outing on Saturday night. It's their truth because that's what they've been taught, to kill the infidel in the Quran, just like you've been taught all of these things that you've been taught in your Bible that was written by men, that was interpreted by the Vatican, that was rewritten by Constantinople, that was rewritten at least 150 times that I know of, and so many books were excluded from that book. It's unbelievable, and that book has been twisted and turned and perverted in so many ways. It's not even a Bible anymore. Ask any biblical scholar, and they'll tell you it's not the Word of God, if there ever was one, anymore. So how do you account for all of those things?
I don't know. I just account for myself, Kyler. I try to keep it simple.
It's a good answer. It doesn't fill me up, but it's a good answer. I mean, I'm glad that you're as humble as you are, and I'm glad you're not here to save my soul tonight, or I would have already gotten rid of you off the air. I've gotten rid of a lot of people who had to come on and save my soul. But I like you. I like you a lot, Dwayne. You've got a lot of sense, and you're humble, and you're cool, you're smooth, and you can talk about these things without getting pissed off, getting mad, and having a food fight, and that's a good thing. I always tell people, you're not going to draw people to you by pushing them away. You're not going to, if you are trying to save someone, if you are trying to get someone saved, you're not going to get them saved by beating them over the head with a hammer.
Amen. I've tried that approach and it don't work.
It don't work, my friend. It simply don't work. I'll tell you that right now. Love covers a multitude of sins, and love works. I mean, love works. You can love people into all kinds of things, and Christianity is one of them. Believe me, I know. I used to be a Christian.
Well, that's good preaching. Love covers a multitude of sins, and, you know, Jesus said, these two commands I give you, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, to me, I just try to love people and, you know, I try to educate them and give them knowledge and hopefully.
Let me ask you a question. Your wife works in the system and uses Federal Reserve notes, and do you ever pay the bills? Do you ever go to the gas company or the water company or the light company? Do you ever pay the bills with fiat currency?
Well, we don't really have bills. We're living in a motorhome. But, you know, everything I have and everything I own is paid for. I don't, you know, have any debt whatsoever.
But she does work and she does use the system and she is contracted in the system. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's kind of like you. She's understanding her relationship with the system and, you know, she's kind of redeemed herself. You know, I'm giving my wife the benefit of the doubt right now that I believe that she's learning and I believe that she's understanding how to redeem herself. You know, redeem a straw man. You know that, right?
Yes, I agree.
It's all about, you know, knowledge.
I don't want to live under a tree, okay? I'm old. I'm sick. I'm disabled. I can't live under a tree with the rain falling down my nose anymore, you know? I have to rely on the government. I have to rely on what I rely on. I can't live out under a tree pissing myself trying to find a McDonald's to use the bathroom at. I'm not going to do that, nor am I going to suggest that my other half, my best friend of 18 years, does that and put her in that danger, put her in that nasty position to live like that, like a pig, like a hog. So I don't want to go away from this show tonight dissing any of those people who live in the system like I do. I live within the system, and that's fine. I do just very well in the system, and I told you earlier in the show I have my way of not living of the system. I'm not going to let the system kill me. I'm not going to let the system beat me down. I'm not going to let the system take me over if I can keep from it. So, you know, I believe to each his own, and I think you would be better if you would start learning to each his own, and shit happens, and it is what it is, and we have to deal from that perspective. We have to look at each individual as an individual, and we have to be very analytical in our thinking concerning that individual, and we have to be very responsible and very careful in what we're saying to other individuals. I'm not always careful. I'm an asshole. I'm a born asshole, but I'm just talking to you because you're not an asshole. And you have to be very careful what you say to people and how you say it to people. You know, my job is to run people off. I want to run people off. I don't want to make any friends. I'm not here to win friends and influence people on Facebook. If people want to listen to me, fine. If they don't, fine. Fuck them. I don't care. So that's the way I am. That's the way I've always been. The talk show you love to hate. The talk show host you love to hate. So that being said, we're going to get off this thing. I'm tired. And I want to tell you, you're the first person in a long time that I've allowed to come on this show and proselytize. And I enjoyed it tonight. I really did enjoy you being on tonight. I think you and I can be friends. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think you and I can be friends. I think that's the way it should be.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I enjoyed our conversation. I think we can be friends.
Well, that's sweet. That's sweet. I want to have you back on in a few weeks, and I'd like to have you on one of the roundtables one night when we're trying to get the roundtables together, where we can all come on and have digital food fights and agree to disagree and all that kind of stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on with my guest, Dwayne Brothwell, and this is Kyler Davenport, streaming live on Alternative Public Radio International and simulcasting with blogtalkradio.com. Want to see you all again. We don't know when we're going to be on the air. We still don't have a regular schedule down, but I am getting better at my regular schedule, and we are going to be putting new music in the station from Ed Roman, our Canadian star. We're also going to be bringing back the Nashville Stars with the Grand Ole Opry. We're going to be bringing them back on starting next week. We may start out with Billy Grima. I'm not sure yet. I know Ed Roman's coming on again, and we're going to have a lot of stars coming on, a lot of country western stars. I grew up playing country western music and earned a lot of money in those old clubs playing back in the day when I used to drink a little brewski here and there. Don't do that anymore, thank goodness. And thank God, whoever she is. But until next time, this is Kyler Davenport, and remember, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, and enthusiastically act upon will come to pass. We are going to some music right now. Goodbye, Mr. Brothwell.
All right. Have a good night.